We are up to Daf Mem Zayin on the base, two lines before the very wide lines. The Hashamash She'ochal Poches Mekazayis, if you'll remember, we're going through case by case to try and work out what exactly is the Chiddush. If you eat something which is osa to eat, you obviously cannot join forces to make Zimun. So why is the Mishnah telling me these cases? So we saw in every single case, there was a separate chiddush. So over here it says, "V'hashamash she'ochal poches mikazayis." Now that's also not a chiddush because anybody who eats less than a kazayis cannot join forces for a zimun. Says the Gemara Pshita. So in which case it's posher. You're not teaching me anything. Says the Gemara, you're right. Aidi the Tana Reisha kazayis Tana Sefer. We sometimes have this symmetry of the Mishnah. The Reisha told me that a Shamash who eats a Kazayis is mitzdare for Zimun, and that really was a Chiddush. Because remember the Gemara said that we might have been excused for thinking that a Shamash cannot join forces for Zimun because he's not really a proper part of the meal. He's getting up, he's sitting down, he's wandering around. And the Gemara says, no, nonetheless, he does form part of the Zimun. So once the Mishnah told me that if he eats a kazayis, he can join forces for a zimun. So for purposes of symmetry, as it were, the Mishnah Masefer says now the opposite case, that if, however, he eats less than a kazayis, then actually he cannot form part of the zimun. But yes, you're totally right. That's not a chiddush at all. Okay. Says the Gemara, V'hanochri ein mezamnin olav. Now that's obviously also not a chiddush. Says the Gemara Pshita, obviously, it's the most obvious one of the lot. He's a goy. And if he's a goy, obviously he cannot form part of the zimun. So why is that a chiddush? We discussed before what's halacha of a kuti, but a goy? A goy is a goy gom, it's not mukhiv and benching. How can he possibly join in the zimun? What's the chiddush? So the Gemara says, "Hocha b'may askinu." Over here, what we're talking about is begeir shemol v'loy tovol. This is the very famous case of the geir who's done mila and hasn't yet done tvila. One second, sorry. We know in order for somebody to convert, he's got to do two things. And without these two things, he's not considered Jewish, i.e., he's got to do Mila and Tvila. So the question becomes, what is his status when he's done the Mila but not done the Tvila? Is it all or nothing? Or does something actually take effect after he's done the Mila? And our Gemara is teaching us that if he's done a Mila and not a Tvila, then he is still considered a fully fledged Goy, the Omar Rabbi Zeira, Omar Rabbi Eichnan, Lo Oilam Einoi Geir Ad Sheyimoil Veyitboil. He cannot be considered a Geir until he's done both the Mila and the Tvila, Vekamo Deloy Tovel. And as long as he has not yet done the tvila, even if he's done the mila, nochri hu is a goy. So it is a chiddush. When our Mishnah says that a goy cannot join forces to make a zimun, you're right. Anybody who's a goy, that's poshut. But the chiddush is that he's considered a goy. Why is he considered a goy? Because he hasn't finished his conversion process. And by the way, this is what we pass in halacha. If somebody undertakes to become a Jew, he does the Mila and then wants to back out, no problem at all. He's allowed to back down. Why? Because he hasn't done the Tvila. And if he hasn't done the Tvila, he hasn't finished the process. Look at Rashi. Ad sheyimoil v'yitboil. V'yavoma, says Rashi, nafgalon. We learn this out. What is the source for this halacha? Because it says in the pasuk by Matan Torah, "Mivayikach Moshe es Adam vayizrek al ha'am. Moshe Rabbeinu took the dam and he sprinkled it on the nation. Ve'ein hazo'o b'loi tvila. As we know from other areas of halacha, like Parah Aduma, whenever you sprinkle anything on somebody, it obviously requires a tevila as well. So we learn from over here that Klal Yisrael not only did Mila, when did they do Bris Mila, by the way? They did it in Mitzrayim, but before B'makabal Torah, they had to have a tevila as well. So this is the source that you've got to have Mila and tevila. Failure to finish off the process means that you are an absolute goy. Now, I must tell you, there is a world-famous question. Entire Sforim have been written about this story. But the story is told about 150 years ago in Yerushalayim, where there was a goy who was becoming a ger. And he did his bris mila and had not yet done the tevila. So it's the exact status that we are discussing in our Gemara. And he approached a Rav in Yerushalayim on Shabbos afternoon. And he says to him, am I allowed to keep Shabbos? A Jew has to keep Shabbos. A Goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Goy sheshavas. If a Goy keeps Shabbos, then he's chayev misa. So the Rav said to him, this is the way it's recorded in the Tshuva. He says, I didn't have much time to look in the Shaila, but to be perfectly honest, I didn't think it needs much time. It's a very obvious thing. It's a mafurish in Gemara. We've just learned the Gemara now, that you're not considered a Jew until you've done Mila and Tevila. And this person had only done Mila but not Tevila. So he's a fully fledged guy. And if he's a fully fledged guy, he's not allowed to keep Shabbos. So I told him, the Rav said, immediately go and be Mechal Shabbos, write a couple of letters, Shtei Oisiyos, that's the Melacha of Kosev. The problem was that after Shabbos, people came to this Rav and there was a whole big fury about this Shaila. Can't be, and we can't believe that you told this person he's got to write on Shabbos. You should know you have caused Chilul Shabbos. And he responded, he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. What do you mean Chilul Shabbos? He's a guy, for goodness sake. And he has to be Mechal Shabbos. He's not allowed to keep Shabbos. So why is he a guy? Because he's done the Mila, he hasn't done the Tevila. But he was so perturbed about the response that he wrote a shaila to one of the Gedolei Achronim, the Oruch Laner. Those who were with us a few years ago when we learned Makkos, you'll remember Oruch Laner was one of the main Mefarshim. The Oruch Laner was one of the Gedolei Apoiskim in Europe. And this Rav wrote to the Oruch Laner, he says, listen, I don't really feel I need to ask you the question at all because I think it's so overwhelmingly obvious. One and one is two. If you tell me that until he's done his tevila, he's a goy. And if you tell me that a goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos, well, there you have it. So if you have somebody who's done mila, not tevila, he's got to do a malach on Shabbos. I don't understand why there's such a big fuss. But because there is such a big fuss, that's why I'm writing to you. So the Oruch Laner backed him and said, those who made a fuss were correct.
Oh.
And you paskened wrong.
Whoa.
So the $64 million question is, of course, how on earth can he be wrong? It's so simple. We've just seen a mafurash gemara einoi geir ad sheyimoil v'yitboil. So he's a fully fledged guy. So why did he pasken wrongly? So it's a whole big balagan. And as I mentioned, entire Sforim have been written about this story. Who was right? Is Rav in Yerushalayim or the Oruch Laner? But fascinatingly, the Oruch Laner says, I can prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're wrong. without explaining why you're wrong, but I can prove you're wrong. How so? Klal Yisrael did Bris Mila and they did Tevila. Where did they do Bris Mila?
Mitzrayim.
In Mitzrayim. Pasha Shemois or Pasha's boy. Where did they do the Tevila? Ahar Sinai. As Pasha's Yisrael, as Rashi just explained to us at Matan Torah. So do we all agree that in between Parshas Boy and Parshas Yisroi, Klal Yisroi were exactly in this position of Mila without Tevila.
But weren't they descendants of the Yabes Shvatim?
One second, let's go slowly. So in Parshas Boy, they did their Mila. In Parshas Yisroi, they did their Tevila. When did Klal Yisrael get the instruction to keep Shabbos? Guess what? In Parshas B'Shalach. In the in-between Parsha of Boy and Yisroi, it says there's a pasuk there, it says, Tom Som Loi Choyk U'Mishpot, and Rashi says they were told to keep Shabbos. They say, can't leave the tchum, that was the whole thing with Amon. So Orchaner says, doesn't matter why you're wrong, but I can prove to you that you're wrong. Because Klal Yisrael, who are exactly in this status of post-Mila, but prior to Tevila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to keep Shabbos.
But that doesn't answer the question. If they were descendants of the Yod Beis Shvatim, then why would...
One second. So that's what the Aruch HaNeir wrote to this Rav in Yerushalayim. Meaning, your logic, said the Aruch HaNeir, might in theory be correct. But it's all irrelevant because I've got a mafurish pasuk in the Torah that in between Mila and Tevila, you do keep Shabbos. Now, as Rabbi Eliyahu David rightly mentions, and this was a subject of a Friday morning show many a year ago in the Gro, back when it was in the caravan. You remember those Friday morning shows where we used to discuss these topics?
Of course.
And we said, like you just mentioned, Rabbi Eliyahu David, that let's not forget that Klal Yisrael are perhaps not considered to be Goyim Gemurim. This is not the regular case of the convert, which of course opens up a whole can of worms. What exactly was Klal Yisrael's status prior to Matan Torah? Were they Jewish? Were they not Jewish? In Mitzrayim, were they Jewish? Were they not Jewish? Were they halfway? But either way, because they were the descendants of the Aseret of the Oves HaKadoshim, so it could well be, therefore, they're not considered to be absolute converts. In which case, the Aruch HaNeir's proof is not a proof. And the Rav in Yerushalayim might be correct after all. When you're dealing with somebody who's an absolute goy, then he cannot be considered a fully-fledged Jew until he's done both Mila or Tevila. But maybe Klal Yisrael were different. So this is, like I mentioned, an enormous topic. It's still raging until today. There are entire sforim written on this shaila. But I'll tell you the most phenomenal thing. You might think this is comical, but this is actually a true shaila halacha lemaisa. If the Gemara is telling us that a ger is not a ger until he's done mila and tevila, so that means after the mila, prior to the tevila, what's his status? He's a goy. Somebody called my uncle, Rabbi Zanger in Bnei Brak, with the following shaila. He said, I'm non-Jewish, at least I was, and I had my bris mila done, and my tevila was scheduled for Friday morning Erev Shabbos. Before I left the house on that Friday morning to go to the mikveh, I put my cholent on the flame and I cooked my cholent for Shabbos.
Uh-oh.
Does it mean that the cholent is Bishul Akum?
Bishul Akum.
Because when I put it on the flame, I wasn't yet Jewish. had I waited 10 minutes later, I would have been Jewish. But at the time, I was non-Jewish, so maybe I can't eat my challah on Shabbos morning in Bishul Akum.
So what was the psak?
I don't know. But I'll cop on him, the whole status of a geir, shemol, veloy toval, he's done bris mila, he hasn't done tefillah, is a very, 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 very enormous topic, has many, many ramifications, as everybody can well imagine, but the most famous ramification is legabe Shabbos. In fact, I have a Talmud.
That was the basis. That's how Shimon and Levi
right.
Took care of all of the people in Shem.
Right. So now I once took somebody to the Beis Din in Bnei Brak, to Rav Nissim Karelitz's Beis Din. I took him there maybe 10 years ago. What was the story? This person's wife was a convert. And it turns out that her gerus was extremely dubious.
Probably because she didn't have mila.
She does not need mila, but she does need kabbalas mitzvahs. And as it turns out, that after her so-called conversion, she wasn't keeping any mitzvahs at all.
Ooh.
And she only accepted mitzvahs at a later stage, and it was a highly debatable, dubious geirus. Which means that this poor fellow was married to this woman and had a number of children. They might all be goyim. In fact, the likelihood is that they are all goyim. Now, there does exist a concept of you can actually convert a child as well. It doesn't need to be bar or bas mitzvah, although when you get to the bar or bas mitzvah, you do need to ask them once again, do they want to rescind the geirus? But they can become a geir. So I took this fellow firstly to Rav Kornfeld, and it was a whole discussion. And Rav Kornfeld said, finished, there's no choice. You have to take him to Rav Nissim Karelitz's Beis Din. So I took him to Rav Nissim Karelitz's Beis Din, and we explained the situation that these children are probably goyim or at least sofik goyim. At least sofik, if we're not going to completely cancel their geirus, but undoubtedly they've got to do their geirus again.
Well, actually, were the children born after she had this conversion or before? Or before?
Before. No, they were born after after she had done this debatable conversion.
Okay.
But she might still be a goy until this very day, in which case her children are the same.
Mm-hmm.
So this fellow begged the Beis Din, please would they convert his children? And for reasons I don't want to get involved with now, the Beis Din refused.
Whoa.
The Beis Din says, we are not converting them. And anyway, there's no necessity for the moment to convert them. It's only relevant to Mit Hashem when they get married. So come back in 10 years' time, they told him.
What about when they become either 13 or 12?
So when they become 13 or 12, then you're right. For the boys, it's a big nafka minna, because how can they get an aliyah to the Torah?
Put on tefillin or anything else?
They could put on tefillin. No issa for a goy to put on tefillin. So this fellow was absolutely heartbroken, and he begged the Beis Din. He was literally in tears and says, please, please convert my children. I can't bear to think for the next few years my children might be non-Jewish. And they refused. So he asked.
The internet couldn't bear the tragedy.
So the person says, if indeed they are Jewish, then yes, my internet connection says unstable. Is it okay?
You froze for
we just a few missed moments. You.
You froze for a few minutes. Now you're back.
So the Bezdin said, yes, you do need to keep mitzvahs. All the children should keep mitzvahs. Why? It's a sophic. We don't know whether they're Jewish or non-Jewish. If they're Jewish, obviously they have to do mitzvahs. And if they're non-Jewish, so then who cares if they do mitzvahs? There's no problem to do mitzvahs. So therefore, until such point that we decide to convert them, maybe one day before they get married, they should keep on doing mitzvahs.
What about Shabbos?
So I asked the Av Beis Din, what should they do with regard to Shabbos? All other mitzvahs, like you said, you can put on tefillin. So what's the worst case scenario? That he might be a goy? A goy is allowed to put on tefillin, but he's not allowed to keep Shabbos. So here we're stuck. Because if they're Jewish, then they must keep Shabbos. And if they're non-Jewish, then they're not allowed to keep Shabbos. So what on earth are they supposed to do? So 612 mitzvahs, I've got no problem. But what do they do about Shabbos? They can shake lulav, and they can eat matzah, and they can daven, and they can sit in a sukkah and blow shofar, no problem. Either it's a waste of time because they're non-Jewish, or it's not a waste of time because they are Jewish. But Shabbos, if indeed they are goyim, they're not allowed to keep Shabbos. So what are they supposed to do now? Maybe they're mechuyev and maybe it's awesome. He waved me away and said, don't worry, they can keep Shabbos. This is the famous kasha, by the way, that all of the mefarshim, and we dealt with this, by the way, also in one of those Friday morning shurim, because the whole question of what was the status of Klal Yisrael prior to Matan Torah really is a question, what was the status of the Ovos? Avram, Yitzhak, VeYaakov, were they Jewish? Were they not Jewish? Were they a Sofek? With the big question being, we know that the Gemara says that the Ovos kept Torah, all of the Torah. So how could they keep Shabbos? If indeed they were non-Jewish, they're not allowed to keep Shabbos. How do they keep Shabbos? So the Av Beis Din at the time just said to me, whatever the answer to that question is, the same applies to these kids. Next, please. And he dismissed me. So that is the big question, which we're not going to get involved with now, but how indeed did the Ovos keep Shabbos? If we're going to say that to an extent they were considered Jewish, but not completely. So if they were not completely Jewish and allowed to keep Shabbos, so how did they keep Shabbos?
But you're dealing, what did they do with the Ethiopians? They did Gior Misafek, right? So if he's saying that these children could observe Shabbos, obviously, so why doesn't he just say do Gior Misafek and be done with it?
I'll tell you why. If you asked, I'll already tell you. Unfortunately, the circumstances were that the mother, who is now the source of all the problems because her gerus is dubious, the mother stopped being religious.
Oh.
As a result of which, she and her husband were now divorced.
Oh.
So this was an extremely painful story because the Beis Din said to this fellow, listen, your children are going to be with their mother most of the week. That was the divorce arrangement.
Oh, boy.
Let's hope, emitz Hashem, that they'll stay along the straight and narrow. But there's a definite chance that they're going to go off the derech. How can we convert these children and make them into Jews if there's a very big chance that they might not keep Torah mitzvahs? We cannot
convert them. Right.
Can you imagine how painful that was for him to hear?
Yes.
Not only has he heard that his wife, he's got a divorcer, not only has he heard that his wife might not be Jewish, not only has he heard his children might not be Jewish, not only has he heard the Beis Din refused to convert them, he's also been told that as far as the Beis Din are concerned, there's a high chance that the kids might go off the derech. And I can tell you, the painful reality is that the Beis Din were right.
Yes, they were. We knew a couple in Los Angeles where the woman was Miss Geyer to marry a Jewish husband. And ultimately what happened, the husband was, she took on all the mitzvahs. The husband was waffling and ambivalent about being from, and she finally got disgusted with his laxity in observing mitzvahs, and she divorced him and wound up marrying a non-Jew.
Wow.
Crazy.
You knew them.
Yeah.
So in this particular story, I know this fellow and I know the children, and unfortunately, some of the children are off the derech.
Yeah.
And this was the concern of the Beis Din, and it's a very valid, understandable concern. That means if these kids are Jewish anyway, so the fact that they're going to go off the derech possibly, okay, that's very sad. But if they're non-Jewish, why on earth would you want to make them Jewish if there's a high chance that they're not going to keep Torah Mitzvah? You're not allowed to convert them.
You're increasing the chov on them.
Right. So in which case, they said, listen, if Be'ezus Hashem, they'll manage to keep Torah Mitzvahs and get through school and yeshiva and seminary, and they're ready to get married as religious Jews, fine, then come back and we'll convert them and they can get married. A very, very, very painful story. Okay, let's get back to the Gemara.
So how is that husband doing now?
Not easy. A difficult situation. Noshim va'avodim uketanim ein mezamnin aleihem. Women, slaves, and minors cannot form part of the zimun. Amar Rabbi Yosi, cotton hamutol ba'arisa, a child who's lying in his crib. Mezamnin olav can form part of your zimun. What's going on?
Don't they have to call? Yeah, be gedolim. By that, I mean over bar mitzvah. That's what I meant.
Yeah, but he's a child in a crib. Mm. How on earth can you form him as part of the zimun? V'hotnan. Surely we've learned in the Mishnah, noshim v'avodim v'ketanim, ein mezamnin aleihem. So we have a mafurish Mishnah that says a cotton cannot be part of the zimun. How on earth can you say that a child can be part of the zimun? What on earth is going on? Says the Gemara, who the Omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi? Because Rabbi Yosi adopts the position of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, the Omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, Af al pisha omru koton va'avodim, noshim va'avodim v'ketanim ein mezamnin aleihem. So whilst it's true that ketanim cannot be part of a zimun, aval oisin oisoi snif la'asara. As we know, this is a halacha that we have not discussed much, but there are two types of zimun. There's three and there's 10. When you have 10 people, you have a zimun anyway. The difference is you add the word Elokeinu. Says Rabbi Yosi, I was referring to a case where we had 9 people. Then you're allowed to incorporate the cotton in order to be able to say Elokeinu. When the Mishnah says that you cannot incorporate a cotton to be part of a zimun, it's talking about to be part of the initial three. So to be part of the initial three, that's when the Mishnah says that he cannot be part of the zimun. But where I have three and I just want a 10th man, then you can incorporate a cotton. Look at Rashi. Sniff, chibur, a connection. Can the cotton be the connection lezimun, i.e. asara, for 10 people? V'chi omer Rabbi Yosi, and when Rabbi Yosi said that you can incorporate, you can include a child in the crib, Nami la'asara ka'omar. What he meant was for 10. He did not mean that if you have 2 adults, you can add a child. He meant if you have 9 adults, you can add a child.
So you're saying to say Shem Hashem in the benching, even though you don't have a minion. That's
correct.
That's strange.
A tremendous chiddush, correct.
Is that the halacha? You can add a child. You know, if you're short of a minion, you then there's a child in the, you know, you've got nine and you've got a child, you can make a minion.
Oh, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. That's the next line of the Gemara. The Omar Bishua ben Levi Tisha the Eved Mitzdarfin. Just like we said that if you have nine adults, you can add a child. So too, if you have nine adults, you can add an Eved. And this is going to cause a whole problem. So this is going to begin a whole story. So we're going to stop over here. You should see the next Gemara plus the Tosas. Very important to see the Tosas. Very, very, very big things going on. Mr. Hashem, we'll resume tomorrow, all being well.
Okay. Shakoch, that was a fascinating Maisa. Wow.
Yeah. Very tragic, but yeah. Okay. Be well, everybody.
Call two.